Vinny, episode 739 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Royalty Tours USA, your ultimate resource to traveling in style to attend sporting events. Follow them on the web at royaltytours.blogspot.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge coverage of NFL 2016. We are resuming with some preseason looks at divisions here. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross. We have for you the AFC North, formerly known in a previous life as the AFC Central. You have, again, three teams here that have perennially been towards the top in recent years, and the one team pulling it all down. More about them later. But for the team at the top here, Kyle, at least in your estimation, we are looking at a team that made it as far as the divisional round of the playoffs last year, the Steelers.
Yes, I like the Steelers a lot this year, and I think a lot of people do.
Okay.
I sort of sense that you, not as much.
I got them 9-7. I got them missing the playoffs.
Wow. This is our first real difference then compared to the East. I mean, really the only difference was you had the Jets 8-8, items 6-10, but we still both were kind of lukewarm on them.
Yeah.
I have Pittsburgh 12-4 and number one in the AFC overall.
Wow. Okay.
This is a very good offense, and I don't know if you've watched the NFL in the last couple of years.
I've caught it from time to time.
Okay.
Yeah, here and there.
Having a good offense helps.
Passing interest.
And they were unbelievable last year offensively, despite some injuries. I really think that, you know, and I know there's the suspension this year, but I just think that offensively, this team is way ahead of the rest of the division. And quite frankly, way ahead of the rest of the conference. I mean, name a better offense in the AFC than Pittsburgh Steelers.
New England's got to be way up there, I think.
I don't think they're as good as Pittsburgh.
Depending on how Osweiler plays, there's a chance it could be Houston. Jacksonville was making some nice strides last year. Indianapolis, if Andrew Luck bounces back pretty well here.
I mean, I don't know. Like, to me, at the skill positions, Pittsburgh's as stacked. At all three skill positions, Pittsburgh's as stacked as any team in the
league. Here's the thing, too. D'Angelo Williams now goes back to being a bag carrier here in the number two spot.
Yeah,
a
but guy there's, that no, thinks ba- there's legit- no bag
carrier. Are we looking
number
at
number two running backs get a lot of. We'll still get the ball a decent amount of times this year. They're not going to run Le'Veon Bell.
Are we looking at a KD and Golden State controversy of I'm not getting the ball enough? Are
I
we
don't think
looking
so.
At that kind of? You don't think so?
No.
Okay.
Not with the tremendous culture that they have in Pittsburgh.
That was an excellent troll, by the way, on your part. But again, you know, it's my questions with them as is the case generally in recent years kind of stems more defensively, and particularly the secondary. I know they looked to shore up at cornerback with Artie Burns in the draft, but again, I thought that was a little bit of a reach, and you're not often able to get a lot of impact from first-year guys at that position anyways. So, to me, the bigger questions, I think, come on the defensive side of the ball.
Yes, I agree.
That's kind of where I'm thinking.
Although, I think that the parting of the ways with Dick LeBeau was justified last year.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay. I still question that.
I think his scheme was outdated. I mean, they jumped. They were terrible defensively 2 years ago in his final season. Last year, they were a respectable 11th in DVOA.
Okay. That's what the cassette tape tells you, huh?
Yes. Yes. I have so many websites open that I have to actually, and that, you know, I don't want to disparage the Great Football Outsiders because I love the site at all, but their DVOA page was really slowing everything. It was the one that was really slowing everything down. So I just pulled it up on my phone instead. Yes.
Get on it, Brian's friend, Vinny.
Yes.
I know you fought for that. Wow, even more than I thought. Okay. I had like moderate expectations for that. I guess the key is catching you really off guard. But
too many of those 97 Raw reviews, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, the common thread seems to be there appears to be issues with a couple of different websites he's affiliated with these days. Yes. My bigger question is sort of where they're going to be defensively. The other thing is, too, again, Roethlisberger, you know, he's starting to get up there, starting to push the mid-30s now. He's been a guy who's been fairly durable, but you're getting to the age where things start to happen.
He rarely gives them a full season of 16 starts.
Rarely does, but
12 last year.
Yeah, but
and they still were that good offensively. Even with, I mean, that's the key here, Ricky, not to jump in, not to cut you off, but I will. They were number 3 in offensive DVOA last year.
Right.
Despite Roethlisberger missing 4 games, and he didn't just miss 4 games, they were replaced by the atrocious Michael Vick.
Right.
And then Le'Veon Bell missed 6 games last year.
Well, yeah, that's true, but while he misses a handful
of games, he only played in 6 games last year. He missed 10.
Right. Right. And that's, Le'Veon Bell, and that's where, again, for people who think that he is going to come back and make this big kind of a difference, he's got a lot to prove after last year. Roethlisberger misses a handful of games almost every year, but that's still been better consistency in terms of health than you tend to get at that position. Part of it is his size and his ability to absorb impact, but most quarterbacks through the course of their career, Brady, Romo, whatever, have an entire year that they might miss due to injuries or the better part of a year. And we really haven't seen that with Roethlisberger yet. He's almost overdue for that and getting to an age where he's going to be more vulnerable. So that's part of my hedging and looking at sort of the downside with them this year, too. I got them at 9-7. I think they're going to be in the playoff hunt all the way. The lowest, actually, both of my wild card teams are at 9-7. So this is always the case in my one fantasy football league. Both the leagues I'm in run off the same sets of rules. And if you go 7-7, we always talk about that. That puts you in the grid. You're looking at the tiebreakers, whatever. Well, in the NFL, it's 9-7. If you're 9-7, chances are you're in the grid, and you're going to make it or not make it based on tiebreakers. So I only have the Steelers missing the playoffs off of tiebreakers. I have Cincinnati at 10-6 as the division winners, which, interestingly enough, I think you set off air as the record you have them for, but that would get them in as a wild card. Unless I am remembering incorrectly. You appear befuddled.
No, I'm not. I'm okay.
I'm sorry, constipated. I mistook the two.
That could be true.
That Taco Bell is really not doing you any favors.
No, I'm still laughing at the Brian's friend Vinny joke.
Okay.
No, I was actually still on the Steelers, and then here's what happened. I was going through my Steelers notes, and I heard you were transitioning to the Bengals, and I began panicking, and I said, what do I do? I just think, also, when you talk about the Steelers, their offensive line should be better with Pouncey back.
It should be.
So I like Pittsburgh to win the division, top seed, 12-4. Cincinnati, I say, is a wild card. It's funny that, you know, it's easy to rip on this team right now, Cincinnati. I feel a lot of people will. They've made the playoffs how many years in a row now? 5?
I think so,
yeah. They've lost to
every year of Dalton's career, and he came out in 11. So
yeah, they lost to Houston twice.
Yeah.
They've lost to San Diego the one time. They lost to Indianapolis, and they lost to Pittsburgh. It's easy to rip on them, especially the ugly way they exited the playoffs last year.
Right.
But we should appreciate, it's hard to make the playoffs 5 years in a row. A funny thing has happened in the southern part of Ohio during this run of Andy Dalton. Yes, they're cheap, but Cincinnati is a well-run organization.
Well, and they've drafted pretty well the last couple of years. They really have. One of the things that I think is a little bit troubling from their standpoint is, and this is something I had read, there appears to be some truth behind it, and it's kind of interesting. All teams go through phases, successful teams anyways, of having to replace coordinators. They had to replace both of them a couple of years ago with Jay Gruden and Mike Zimmer. Go through it again offensively, this time around losing Hugh Jackson to the Browns in the division. But this is a thing here again where the Bengals have really, over the course of Marvin Lewis's time with the team, more than anything else, struggled with the culture of the team and of channeling that whole 70s Raiders thing that they've had going on here. And that from the stuff that I've read, Hugh Jackson had a lot to do offensively and defensively.
That needs to be talked.
People.
That
yes.
needs to be talked about. That
stability.
Hugh Jackson did a great job in ensuring this. Because remember, it was a cut. What was it? Was it 2 years ago or last year that we talked about this team? It was last year,
yeah.
right? They lost both their coordinators.
Well,
right?
This is now 2 years.
Okay,
that,
yeah, 2 years ago, we talked about them losing both their coordinators.
Yeah,
huge. Because you're right, it was Jay Gruden, not Hugh Jackson.
Yeah.
They lost, and Hugh stepped in. Hugh did a tremendous job making sure that offense did not regress. And
it
there
didn't
was no,
regress.
And there was no, there wasn't any real transition period. They just kind of kept it going.
Right, but that, but from what I've seen, Marvin Lewis leaned on him. Not just on the obvious offensive side of the ball, but even with some of the defensive players in terms of helping to keep people in line, keep things going here, whatever. That the Hugh Jackson played an outsized role in bringing stability to a team that internally, over the course of Marvin Lewis's time, has never had enough of it. Because they always have volatile characters and OMG, going to take a guy no matter what his rap sheet is and whatever. So without that, what now happens to the Vontaze Burfichts of the world and some of these other guys that got a screw loose? You know what I mean? That's what I'm going to be keeping an eye on with Cincinnati this year without Hugh Jackson in that clubhouse.
Pittsburgh, we should point out, was projected for 10.5 wins. You're under that. I'm over it. Cincinnati's at over 9.5. Or, pardon me, at 9.5.
I'm just barely over.
Yeah, me too. I got him at 10-6. I think.
Unsurprisingly, most of these win totals are pretty dead nuts.
I mean, that's what you do at the beginning of the season, and they're never that way. It's hard to do this because you can't project. It should be pointed out that Cincinnati was a very good football team last year.
Yes.
By any stretch of the imagination.
Got off to an unimaginable start, really.
They outscored opponents by 140 points. That was number two in the conference behind New England.
Right.
As I bring this up, you know, in terms of yards per game, I don't know if it was quite as impressive here. Let me just bring it up here. Like I said, you know, I got so many things going here on this computer. Yeah, they were actually only 12th in that department at plus 17.2. They finished 12-4. So I actually, here's my thing with Cincinnati. I think they're not going to have as good a regular season.
Right.
But I think that the way the AFC is, because there's going to be, I think, two pretty weak division winners in the South and the West.
Yeah.
If they're a wild card and they draw one of them, look, they've been favored before. They've lost at home before. We know this. I think that Cincinnati, not be surprised if after having a worse regular season, maybe gets that final break, that big breakthrough, and wins a playoff game this
year.
That
could happen, and that's happened a lot
of
times.
I've been going against this team. I've been like, they've made the playoffs so many years. They're going to regress. This is just, to me, when you look at the AFC, there's a few teams that are pretty stable and well-run.
Right.
And they always seem to make the playoffs.
Right.
And then there's just a bunch of just, you know, teams that are poorly run and never make it.
That's
Cincinnati,
right.
After, you know, decades of being in the latter group, has now ascended into the former group. They're well run. There are legitimate concerns, but, you know, I mean, as much as we want to talk about the loss of Hugh Jackson, I do think that matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no learning curve going from Jay Gruden to Hugh Jackson, and I think, you know, the Bengals will stay good.
Well, they've done a good job at replacing from within on that. As I say, my bigger concern is if they don't sort of regress to the mean in terms of leading the league in arrests and whatnot as they traditionally
Well,
have.
Here's one area that I think hurts them here.
Mm-hmm.
Turnovers.
Yeah.
Turnover margin. If I have 18 different screens open, I'm going to keep bitching about that, by the way, because I'm sure our listeners really care about how many web
pages. They're very
pages.
Invested in your issues here,
okay.
Kyle. Hashtag first world problems.
Yes. They were plus 11 last year in turnover margin. That was third best in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, when you're that high, the ball starts maybe bouncing a little funny against you the next year. So
right.
I don't see them being as good in the regular season, but because of if they do make a wild card, they'll play a weak division winner. I think they maybe could get into the second round of the playoffs for the first time since they injured Bo Jackson and ruined his career.
Yes, it could very well be. Again, they're going to have holes to fill at wide receiver. They're going to need guys to step up. I will say this, though. When you look at opportunities for improvement from within, a surprising down year for Jeremy Hill last year. I think he can bounce back a little bit. Gio Bernard had a great bounce back year himself. The Thunder and Lightning could do an awful lot for the offensive balance there. And Tyler Eifert, if he stays healthy, again, you saw last year what he's capable of. when he is healthy and when he has got it going on. So those are, that's the, in my mind, the one team that I've got making the playoffs in this division. We've covered the two teams you have making the playoffs. In them and the Steelers.
I think the third's going to have a shot, too. I think a lot of people are going to pick this next team, whereas I think a lot of people are going to say, okay, Cincinnati will win fewer. A lot of people are on the Pittsburgh bandwagon. I think Baltimore, who we're going to next, if I'm correct, because I don't think you were referencing Cleveland.
Exactly.
I think Baltimore is a very clear candidate for improvement in 2016.
Yeah, they are, but...
If the question is, their ceiling now? Because I want to... take this back to the Jets discussion, where we talked about, are they correct in not paying Ryan Fitzpatrick the money he's asking for, even though it's going to hurt them in the short term for not doing so. Joe Flacco, he played out of his mind in that Super Bowl run, and because of the way that narratives work, they had to basically pay him, right?
Sure.
Should they have, in retrospect?
Yeah, they should have, because... Again, the way it works in this league.
What has Joe Flacco gotten them since then, though?
Very little, but here's the thing.
By the way, Cincinnati was also 5-2 in close games, or 5-2 in the 5-3, including the playoff loss. Mm-hmm. So that's another. You know, that's not a ridiculous thing, but it's another suggestion they may win fewer.
Well, we look at again quarterbacks in this league where just having the quarterback and enough around them, you can win a Super Bowl at any given year. Whether that be Aaron Rodgers, whether that be Brady, Peyton Manning before he hit the wall and subsequently retired. And then there are the guys where if all around them is good, they're a quarterback that can lift the play enough to be able to win a Super Bowl. In that case, the funny thing is the guy who's capable of being in there is the one guy from the class of 04 who hasn't, and Phillip Rivers. The other two, Eli Manning, Roethlisberger, are both guys that are like that. Joe Flacco proved that he's on that level. I'll say Brad Johnson in the year of 02, because people want to lump him in with Trent Dilfer, and Brad Johnson never sucked. Brad Johnson was average to above average for most of his career, and certainly above average in 02. But anyways, to have one of those guys, there ain't many of them in the league. It's a situation almost akin to the guys in the NBA, the franchise players that you can win a title with, and there's at any given point in time no more than six or seven of those guys, and usually less than that. So that's the way the quarterback position is. You know, wrong place, wrong time. He was a free agent. He bet on himself. He went 11-0 in the postseason on the touchdown-to-interception ratio. I think what you're saying is 20-20 hindsight. And I got no love for the Ravens. But objectively, looking at it, they did what they had to do.
I don't know if it was.
And it may yet pay off.
I just think that, look, the thing is, people are like, and again, I guess I'm eschewing my good friend Karl Marx, as you would say, and not paying the man for what he's given to you. But I just see it's like, okay, like, if you're the employer, the Ravens, aren't you like, oh, okay, we won.
What he gave him is
the Super Bowl with this guy, and he. But don't you take a look at that? Like, even I remember you saying this at the time. Everyone knew that was like a career run for Flacco. Joe Flacco may never play that well again the rest of his career. I would be stunned if he ever played that well again in his career.
Here's the thing, you know.
Aren't you just like, wow, we got him to do it for cheap? Let's do something else. Because
what else? My question is, replace him with what? And
that,
I'll say
that
to
is
you.
The issue, and that's the issue that we're going to see with the Jets this year.
And one of the guys from the class of 04, Eli Manning, after he did it in 08. Don't you think everybody looked at him and was like, well, he did it. That was his once-in-a-lifetime run, and he did it again.
You pay the quarterbacks, right? And then you start to see, and we've seen it with the Giants, and we're starting to see it with the Ravens. The Ravens always draft well. There's holes on this roster because you can't, because you're financially hamstrung by the quarterback position.
Seahawks have to pay like Russell what he's worth, and they're having the same thing happen.
Yes.
I would agree with you, Kyle Ross. I would agree with you, but... You can't do anything without a quarterback.
No, you can't.
And they had one, and they couldn't afford to let him go.
Okay, I just think it was a hypothetical. I guess I thought it was an interesting comment.
Okay.
It was a bit of a hot take comment.
Embrace debate.
Yes, with Skip Bayless going, to Siberia.
Clay Travis is applauding somewhere.
Yes. The Baltimore Ravens were a very unlucky football team last year. There is no doubt about it. I mean, they don't have the ceiling that they once did, but they were clearly not as bad as their record in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
First losing season of the John Harbaugh era, 5-11. Their first 12 games, all decided by 8 points or less, they went 4-8.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, they were 1-6. So they actually, you know, as I hype all the time on this program, record in close games, that's not a skill. It tends to regress or improve to the mean all the time. Their point differential, minus 72. That's not very good, obviously.
Right.
But it was better than the 6-10 Dolphins. It was better than the 8-8 Colts. They outgained 9 of their 16 opponents at plus 22.1 yards per game, Ricky.
Mm-hmm.
That was 11th in the league. This team finished 5-11.
Yeah.
So here's another one. Four times they lost a game in the final 2 minutes and 10 seconds of regulation or in overtime.
Okay.
There was that disaster against Jacksonville with the roughing the passer that set up to the untimed down, the 53-yard field goal. Remember that play? That was a disaster. Overall, they finished 5-9 in one score games. Injuries were huge. Flacco went down. They never got a game out of Breshad Perriman, who was supposed to replace Torrey Smith. There was the Terrell Suggs injury. Steve Smith, before he went down, had too much pressure on him for a receiver of that age. I just think it all points up for the Ravens this year. The question is how much.
Well, and in terms of honoring his pledge on retirement, Steve Smith pulling a Ted Cruz and not abiding by that, coming back for another year. So you got that. But I still look at that receiving core, even with Aiken. I have questions in looking at that. And Perriman, who, as you said, didn't play a game last year. I have questions about the receiving core. You know, you didn't get the follow-up kind of a year from Forsett at running back that you would have hoped for last year.
Maybe he's better this year.
Maybe so. I look at it. I think they'll be better than last year. I got them going from 5-11 to 7-9.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, I'm not saying
I'm
a whole
lot. I'm just higher on all the teams in this division.
Right.
And I know that we're going to do that with the fourth team as well. I've got them at 9-7 and battling Buffalo for the last playoff spot.
The thing I'll grant you is
the
this.
Odds makers have 8 right in between our pick of 9-7. They were also, continuing with the unlucky theme, minus 14 in turnovers. So you know what I'm saying? Like, all the metrics, if you're into the advanced stats like I am, are pointing up for this team.
I'll grant you this much, that
I'm really, really comfortable with my pick of 9. Like, there's a few, like, most teams, I'm like, yeah, okay, it could be 9, it could be 8. With Baltimore, I'm, like, really bizarrely confident that it's going to be 9 wins for them.
And what's the Vegas projection?
8.
8, all right. So I got them going under. Here's the thing. I told you going in, I'm going to be very, very kind of conservative on keeping teams around 8-8, a little above, a little below. I just think it's one of those weird kind of parity years. But here's the thing. The three teams in this division, I mean, if I'm wrong about that, the three teams in this division will all be above 500 and maybe significantly so, and that's where, again, if I'm wrong about the big picture of the kind of year it's going to be, these are the teams that are going to benefit from that because they're the teams that have an opportunity to stand out and that have stood out in the last couple of years.
Baltimore, I want to – let's – because the Browns are, like, just not worth, like, mentioning with these three teams. One thing that should be mentioned with Cincinnati that hurts them, too, is they've got the first-place schedule.
Right.
Which means they've got to get New England and Denver, although we think, you know.
Well, yeah, Denver.
We'll talk about Denver, that they may regress. Baltimore gets the third-place schedule, and I think that means Oakland and Jacksonville, which I know for you is dicier than me.
It's not going to be good.
Okay, and a lot of people are high on those teams. I can't wait to do the other two divisions because I feel these just fall neatly into place. Baltimore 2016. Let's just look at the schedule here. Another key that I'm always so poorly organized when we do this. We should be talking more about how a team finished their schedule at the end. Remember that? It's always so key.
They lost 4 of their last 5 last year, so that ain't good.
I think they had a pretty tough schedule. I remember they were so injured.
At Baltimore. Miami, Seattle, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, at Cincinnati.
That's their schedule this year?
That was their last 5.
What is it this year? Because I'm still struggling here as my lovely computer is.
I don't have that right in front of me, but
I would love to know how they
finish. As you go to put me on the spot.
Yes.
Well, I'll pull that up here.
We can always pause and just take out this recording.
I do not cheat in that way. I do not cheat. People get things warts and all. We record without a net. All right, I'm going to the schedule for B-more for this year. And they start off home, Buffalo, then at Cleveland, at Jacksonville, Oakland, Washington, at the Giants, at the Jets. That's not an easy first half before the bye. That's not.
No, it isn't. But they close. This is tough. At Pittsburgh, at Cincinnati is their final two regular season games.
Well, and before that, Philly and at New England.
Well, I think Philly.
Philly's not tough, but no. New England is.
Yeah, this three of their last four games. Yeah, I don't think Baltimore's going to make it. But I think they're going to win nine. I think somehow they get – see, here's the thing. I think they're going to get off to a good start versus Buffalo, at Cleveland, at Jacksonville, versus Oakland, versus Washington. I think they're actually going to get off to a great – I could see them starting 4-1 there. I think they get off to a really good start and then kind of maybe fall apart later.
I think they do no better than a split from the Jacksonville-Oakland
I actually think that what's going to happen, I think they're going to be in position for the playoffs. They fall apart late.
Okay. I don't think they're ever going to get it going real strongly at any point along the way. A team that we could say that about, and it would be an extreme understatement, would be the Cleveland Browns, who face the interesting likelihood of regressing from 3-13 a year ago. Kind of hard to do.
I don't think so.
What's the Vegas total on them?
4.5, lowest in the league.
4.5? 4.5? Will Vegas put anybody at 4.5? Will Vegas put, like, Pop Warner team at 4.5?
Pretty low.
What a bunch of gutless bastards. Jeez, 4.5?
Ricky, do you know what Vegas is? It's a reflection of what the public thinks.
There's not nearly enough people to think they're going to be that high. You don't even tell me that.
I know, which is the thing. They're still going to get under bets on them. Ricky, it's the public that's dumb, not Vegas.
You could get under bets if you had them at 2.5. I'll promise you that.
No, you wouldn't.
I'll promise
you. No one would bet under 2.5.
I would, because I got them at 2-14. They're going to be the worst team in the league.
I got them at 5-11.
This is a thing where...
Not the worst team
in
the league. Third worst team in the league.
The kindest thing that I can say is that it appears that they're going to suck by design, because they decided, for whatever reason, brilliant analytics guys, let's just let everybody go that was a free agent. Let's not even try to reset. Travis Benjamin emerged, but let's just wave bye-bye at him, and let's wave bye-bye at Alex Mack. You're going to give me that crap? Look at who they're replacing him with. They're replacing him with a bunch of CFL guys and guys off the waiver wire and whatnot. Come on.
I think that the Browns are the classic. Every year there's one of these teams that everyone's like, oh, this team sucks so bad. And then that team, they wind up not being good, but they wind up being a little bit better than you think.
But the clear thing is that they're not even set up to be remotely competitive this year. You can't even say it's a matter of like, oh, they're going to suck. They're not very good. This is the design. For whatever reason, they're designed to suck. They think it's a good plan that this team is going to suck.
Well, it can be. I mean, you see in baseball, there are teams that pretty much tanked it for a few years, and that's paying off. Houston Astros.
This team's been in the crapper for 17 years. Where's it gotten them, Kyle?
I'll tell you what it's gotten them. They have lost 11 or more games, 13 of those 17 years.
As I said, for the NFC East one, that they are the anti-Patriots, or are the Patriots or the anti-Browns.
That's right. Yes, they are. Yes. They are an atrocious organization. Make no mistake about it. Only the Bills have a longer postseason drought.
Yeah. And you're looking at a situation here where the entire fall is going to be an audition process for the quarterback of the future, for RG3, that whole reclamation project, where, again, Corey Coleman, wide receiver, very talented draft pick, first rounder, but a guy who, again, it's going to be welcome to the NFL, rook, and a guy who I worry about as far as being 5'10". I want a Laquon Treadwell in that spot. Give me the guy who, he may not have all the fancy measurables, but, you know, how many measurables did Megatron have, for God's sake? You know
a
what
lot.
I mean? he was never the fastest guy in the league. He was fast, but not the fastest guy in the league. Treadwell reminds me of, like, a poor man's Megatron. But be that as it may, Gary Barnage, that may have been, as much as I hate to say it, a flash in the pan as far as his emergence last year. So RG3 doesn't have much to work with there. He's got the old cop killer Isaiah Crowell at running back, along with Duke Johnson, who the one thing I will say from an X's and O's standpoint, watch this, and I think he could be a fantasy sleeper this year. There's been noise of Hugh Jackson trying to make him the Gio Bernard of this offense, and they do have similar skill
sets. Hugh Jackson was a great coaching hire, too, by the way.
Yeah, he was. I will tell you this, and you and I disagreed on this. With the analytics approach of the front office, I more wanted Matt Patricia, a guy with an engineering background. I thought he was a guy who could maybe buy in and be more on the same page. But Hugh Jackson has won me over with his approach to things thus far?
The Browns, they were a bad team, but they were also an unlucky team. They had the worst win percentage in one-score games, league,
yeah.
1-5.
Yeah.
A lot of times, you know, living here in Cleveland, people are like, oh, we always lose the close ones, and it's not always true. Last year it was. Fifth worst in turnover margin, -9.
Right.
Here's a key, though. They dropped 4 wins last year from 7-3.
Right.
Usually that signals an uptick. I think they're at least going to win 4, maybe 5. I think the 4.5 number is actually perfect. You don't see numbers that low often. And let me take a look here. Now, the point differential was very bad, -154. That was 30 points worse than the other 3-13 team in the league, Tennessee. And there's only one team in the NFC that was outscored by more than 100. That was San Francisco at -149.
Well,
looking at 2013 and 14, there were 5 teams that dropped at least 4 wins from one year to the next.
Okay. But
3 of them, the only one last year. So that I'm looking at the 2013 to 2014 season.
Okay.
In last year, those 5 teams, 3 increased their win total in 2015, 1 matched it, and 1 did have a second straight drop. But that second straight drop was the 49ers, who got rid of Jim Harbaugh. So
yeah.
I do think, as hard as it is, you know me, I always like to kind of be a contrarian. I think, as difficult as it is, the Browns will win more games this year.
Well, yeah, and the only scientific rationale for picking them to do that is the scenario where, much like the Indians,
I think they're going to go into Philly and win that game.
That's possible. But
spoiler alert for our first pick'em show.
I'm
absolutely taking the points of the Browns in that game.
Well, scientifically, if they can do what the Indians did and draft off the success of the Cavaliers, remember that 14-game winning streak by the Indians right when the Cavs won the NBA title? So
this isn't very scientific. This is more like mysticism, I believe.
You don't think that's scientific?
No.
Okay.
I know that you Republicans sometimes have a difficult grasp on science. That's not science. That's voodoo and the boogeyman is what you're talking about.
Stipe, the monsters and the Cavs, you don't find that scientific?
No. There's no
commonality?
No. Hugh Jackson should just stand in Gateway and call plays from there, right? Because that's what science says.
Well, you know what? You're right. Science wasn't enough to drag Sean Porter over the line, so it may not be enough to drag the Browns over the line. But we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. Again, I'm saying 2-14. I will tell you this, that there's always a cycle, and you probably see this as much as I do in this town, that in the springtime, everybody always sees pretty clearly the way that the next year is going to go for the Browns. Everybody sees it with pretty clear eyes.
Hey, remember me last year? I said it was going to be a worst-case scenario. I said they would only win 3 games.
I think I said about 3 games.
Yeah, we were.
And then, but here's the thing, though. And I'm predicting this. You get this late summer. You get this training camp. And I see this from some of these chodes on the message boards. Well, I saw them at training camp. And I'll tell you what, from what I saw, the drills, they don't look like a 2-14 team. They got fight in them. I'm telling you. They're fired up this year. This new coaching staff is going to get more out of them. I'm telling you, buddy. You know, the message boards are full of that. The talk shows are full of that. And by opening day, when the team loses 38-10, the same people who saw it in the spring are going, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
Versus I'm sitting here going, I'll tell you what happened because I've been saying it all year long. You know, so that's just the actual atmosphere year in and year out. That's the dynamic at play on the North Coast. So
I think it's obvious everyone's gonna pick the Browns for last. They deserve to be in last. But I just don't think they're gonna be the worst team in the league.
I think
they'll be the worst team in the AFC, but they're not gonna be the worst team in the league.
All right, I'm saying worst team in the AFC, worst team in the league. We'll see how it shakes out.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.